Hey, what's going on? Welcome to The Doug Show. I'm Doug Cunnington, and in this episode, I am going to cover one of the more productivity-related topics, and I'm going to make it around finishing projects and focusing up a little bit. I think this should be a little bit of a shorter episode so that I don't ramble on too much, but I observed some distraction in myself. And basically, you know, I've been playing guitar a little bit more and I want to get better and improve. A little bit fuzzy, you know, on what I actually want to do. If I was thinking, hey, I want to like learn a specific song, it makes it very clear, but there are many options. Like I want to be able to improvise and jam with my friend who plays the drums. And to be able to improvise and go back and forth and have, you know, not necessarily like music theory, like front of mind, but so that it sounds good and, you know, it's relatively in the right key and, you know, we could jam, right? So fairly straightforward. It'd be cool to like play some songs that I know, that I'm a fan of. A lot of those end up being pretty tough. And for the skill level that I'm at, it would take a huge amount of time, like several months of dedicated practice on a specific thing. So it's a little hard. And then I have been playing some music with my wife. So she plays the banjo and we've worked on a couple songs over the last couple years and we'll occasionally play together. So there's millions of options. And then I'm like, oh, I want to, you know, play with gear and have like other guitars and hear how they sound different. And amps are interesting too. And there's the electronics component. So anyway, very scattered. There's all these possibilities in the world. And the analogy that I want to draw is around online business, around entrepreneurship, projects that you're working on. You take a step back and just, you know, think maybe you are working on something on the side a little bit, or you are maybe full-time, but you have a lot of like different projects that are going on that are in many different areas, right? All within the business, side hustle, or, you know, your full-time agency or whatever, but there's all these different things that you can do. And you can go a level up, and even if you're pretty tightly focused with your business, maybe you have, maybe it's a YouTube channel. Keep it simple, right? Very meta. So it's a YouTube channel. So you know you're creating videos. Maybe you've even focused down where you're thinking, I'm not going to worry about short form video or other little details. I'm just going to work on the YouTube channel. From a couple weeks ago, Paul Lipsky mentioned that he doesn't want to do courses anymore. He doesn't want to worry about other products, a community. He just wants to create really good, high quality videos about AI. It's like tight focus. He's just worrying about that. And he's not worrying about the monetization or the funnel design or the email list or anything else. He doesn't even have an email list, right? So he has focused in on the thing that he wants to work on. And then he's ignoring pretty much everything else. And it's pretty hard to ignore all these other possibilities that you potentially can be working on. So when you do have the focus, like, I mean, Paul has focus on the business, he's narrowed it down, but there's still life going on. So you have, you know, personal relationships, you have family, maybe other hobbies that you're interested in that are completely unrelated, fitness, maybe you want to spend as much time outdoors as you can, maybe you're passionate about quilting or knitting or something like that, right? I mean, people are into all sorts of things. Maybe you love history and you love to read, maybe you're a writer, so you have all these different things that you can work on. And no one's immune, right? So I'm trying to paint the picture that even if you're focused and you do have some things narrowed down, it's still hard to not get distracted. There's a million things. So as I was thinking about this topic, I realized, oh, I am like one of the things I'm good at that served me well in the corporate world, surprisingly, and then transfer to my self-employment. And at this point, I've tried to, you know, be a little bit more chill. I think I'm still decompressing over last few years or something like that. Maybe I'm just truly lazy, but I am good at finishing projects, like identifying what we're trying to do, narrowing down the scope, ignoring all the other shit and many distractions that we have so that you can actually focus on the thing that you need to work on that moves you forward in the project and gets you closer to finishing. And then it's very important to actually finish it, to get whatever the finished product is 100%. It doesn't have to be perfect. In fact, it should not be perfect. You don't want to get hung up in, you know, optimizing and trying to tweak to get that last 1%. And if you're able to just be happy with good enough, you'll be able to, you know, ship it, get it out the door, and keep on going. Now, this is a little bit of a tangent, but I will get back on topic. I listen to several, I guess they're kind of business and self-improvement related kind of podcast, right? So one's called Plain English. I think that's Derek Thompson. And then I listen to Cal Newport some, not every episode for either of those shows, but many of them, maybe 50%, something like that. And a lot of the titles that do get my attention that I listen to, they are around really high performers. It's like, I think there's a guy, Brad Stolbert, who's been a guest on both of the shows, I think. And he's all about excellence. I think that's his book. It's all about excellence and, like, you know, getting just top performers to perform even better. And it's interesting, but as I'm listening, I'm like, motherfucker, I'm not a top performer. Like, I know I'm not a top performer. I'm not trying to be a top performer. And it must be like such a small sliver of people. And I guess maybe I've heard, maybe he's mentioned on his appearances or on his show, like a lot of professional athletic teams who, I mean, those are the best in the world. They really like his stuff. But then there's a bunch of assholes like me who I'm self-aware enough to know that I'm not going to try to be the best at anything. I'm not even close to it. It's completely preposterous to think that I would be world-class in anything. And I think, you know, maybe even like Tim Ferriss, who I'm a fan of, like he talks about, oh, you know, I want to be like, you know, world-class and blah. And I'm like, I'm not doing any of that shit. Like I don't have, maybe this is more about me than anyone else, but I do wonder, people listening to those shows, if they are like regular jerks like me, that they're like, oh yeah, I am. I do want to be world-class in something. It's like, get the fuck out of here. You're not going to be world-class at anything. Again, probably more about me. If that's you out there, someone has to be world-class in something, but it's probably not me. It's definitely not me. Anyway, so I do think it's funny every now and then when people are like trying to optimize really tightly, like, you know, it must be fun. It must be fun for you. It must be fun in that you enjoy the optimization. And I'm sure I do some things here and there, but like even things that I think that I am pretty good at, like I know I'm so amateur compared to someone who actually puts in a lot of time. Okay, so back on topic here with a focus. I didn't make notes on this, so I'm just going to give you a little bit of a stream of consciousness, and I will keep it a little tighter. No more rants for the rest, but I will have a story about a dumb thing that I did in the last week or two. So one of the main things you could do is just focus up. Like I laid this out earlier with all these distractions that we have, and it doesn't matter what you're doing or who you are or any of these, you know, just specifics, there's distractions all over the place. There's so many great options for, I mean, even if you're moving in a productive direction, there's so many things that you can work on. With the music and the guitar playing, I can log on to Pick Up Music. It's like an online like course system that a listener actually turned me on to about a year ago. And it's great. It's very organized and I can go through day by day and I know exactly what to work on. It's right there. All I have to do is do it. So that would be great for certain things. But I could also work on a specific song. Like I have a music book, a tab book over there, and I've been working on a fingerstyle song. And then I have plenty of guitar. I mean, there's just so many things I could do. I could like change strings, or I'm like, oh, maybe I should, you know, play this guitar versus that one. Like, what do I want to work on? So even if I'm moving in a good direction where I'm practicing something in a very dedicated, deliberate practice kind of way, I can still be moving in too many directions. And you could do this in your business where perhaps you're looking at all the different possibilities and you're just spreading yourself too thin in many different areas where maybe, you know, you're like, okay, I need to publish more content online. I need to send emails. And I also need to, you know, chop up my long form videos so I could put it on Shorts. And all of a sudden, you're spending all this time in many different areas and you're making very little progress in the one thing that you actually want to like make progress in. So the key thing here is to make sure your goal is pretty clear. And this is one area where with the guitar stuff, I'm not quite sure because there's several things that I want to do. So what I really need to do is find the specific thing that I do want to work on and focus hard on that. I am very good at focusing on a specific thing very hard for a long period of time. Great for entrepreneurship. It's like the edge of stubbornness, but also, you know, willing to be flexible when things change. So, you know, if I'm working on something, but then there's an external force that happens and I'm like, okay, I actually need to adjust here. So you could pivot a little bit, keep moving in the right direction and adapt if you need to. But at the same time, again, I have the stubbornness where I can work on something for a very long stretch of time when it sometimes doesn't show much progress, which is, I mean, I think it's very similar for, you know, music specifically. I assume it's also similar for some language learning kind of stuff where it's like repetition. And then suddenly like connections are made in your brain and you're actually able to do a little bit more than you were able to just a couple of days before. You kind of hit plateaus and then level out and then you like jump again. And it's kind of surprising because it feels like you had not been making any progress. So figuring out your goal, very key. Focusing up, which means essentially figuring out the stuff that you're not going to work on. So that's a tough one. I mean, you kind of potentially could make a list where you have to keep yourself away from specific things that tend to distract you, which is, that's a tough one because those are things that are pretty good. Those are very good choices for you to spend time on. But in order to finish the main project, the thing that you said is the main priority, you have to not do the other things that are like number two, number three, number four. You have to ignore those others. You have to make difficult choices. And that's why it's hard. That's why it's very hard to ignore those things that are actually good uses of time. They're just not a good use of time right now. So I think if you're able to do a good job on that, most of the time, you know, nobody's perfect. We get distracted. It's okay. You know, as long as you recenter and get back to the things that you're supposed to work on, you're probably going to be okay. Now, for me, you know, I got to take my own advice here because like I'm thinking, all right, what do I actually want to work on? Like what's most important to me? And I think I should work on, and I'm just talking about, you know, the guitar stuff. really, I should probably focus on being able to play some songs, like specific songs, some that I, you know, I already, like I knew how to play at some point, but I forgot. So those should come back pretty quickly. But I think that could be pretty fun for me to be able to play along with songs and actually play it pretty well, maybe put my own spin on some stuff. And I would enjoy that a lot. And I mean, those can kind of transfer when I'm playing and jamming with my friend. I was about to say when I'm playing with my friend, when I'm playing music with my friend, when I'm jamming. And that could be pretty fun to, you know, have a backing track. He's on drums and then I could play the guitar parts. Yeah, it's pretty cool. So with all that said, the main thing is figuring out the shit that you're not going to work on. And that should move you in the right direction. And then a tip on the finishing. So, or a few tips on the finishing. Number one, if you can outline your exit criteria from a project management standpoint. So it's like the minimum criteria that you need to have whatever your deliverable or your finished product, whatever that is, you need to know what that is ahead of time, right? You need to determine what that is before you're judging if it's ready or not. Because if you're like looking at it, whatever it is, let's say it's just some document. Let's say it's a long essay or something like that. You could read it and think, oh, I'm gonna tweak it a little bit more. Endlessly, you could continue to tweak it forever and improve it and distill it and rephrase it and, you know, change this or that indefinitely forever and probably still be able to make small improvements over time. But you need to figure out like the right criteria for the acceptable, you know, good enough finished product. And, you know, maybe for me, for the music, maybe I'm thinking, you know, I should be able to like learn a specific song and like record it and play it and like be happy with the finished product. I'm very good at the good enough judgment. So I think that would be the thing. For me, I would probably stop too soon. And there's two spectrums here. Like some people, like me, I would stop too soon before I have it in whatever the top 25% of what I could do, right? That's probably close enough for me, right? 75, 80% of my capability, it's pretty fucking good. That's good enough for me. And some people, maybe they never ship stuff because they get really close and then they just don't finish it. So one other example, like from a home improvement standpoint, let's say you put in new flooring and then you don't finish the quarter round around the edge. It's pretty much done, but it looks a little unfinished and you know it, other people know it, but it's easy to just be like, the flooring's down, we can mostly operate, who cares if it's not fully polished? Which, if that's good enough for you, that is good enough, but perhaps your significant other or partner is like, you gotta put the fucking quarter round up. Like, it looks unfinished and it's clearly unfinished. And I know people that basically have 15 home projects that are all like 90% done and they're not 100% done. So like maybe their exit criteria would be like, get the flooring in, including the quarter rail. Like that's the cherry on top. That gets you to the 90%. And there's another set of people that don't finish because they're continuing to improve. So that's the example of like continuing to edit an essay, or maybe you have a YouTube video and you could keep editing and essentially keep improving for years for a creative endeavor like that. For the music stuff, maybe I just, you know, I'm like, if I could play it most of the time, if I can get a couple recordings and, you know, not for public consumption, just for me to go through the exercise of playing it and recording and that sort of thing. So those are pretty key. You got to figure out what done is, and you need to figure it out ahead of time. You have something to evaluate when you get to the point where it is time to go ahead and figure out, is this good enough or not? And That is the main thing. I mean, it is it's simple to finish projects, but it is not easy, right? Figure out the things that you have to work on. Don't work on other stuff. Work on the things that get you closer to your goal, and adapt if you need to. You know, things don't have to be perfect. They just need to be good enough. And then you can ship stuff. And for me, like shipping and getting iterations and just more practice, like that works really well for me. Some people are a lot more, they want to have a much a more polished finished product. And that is fine. It's just a different threshold and different priorities and maybe skill levels and things like that, where I'm like, I don't care enough to do some things, you know, that top 5%. So the funny story, I got a new amp the other week. Actually, it's a vintage amp. It's a Gibson Discoverer. It is a GA-8T. And I think it's about a 10 watt tube amp and 12 inch speaker, really cool sounding tremolo. And hopefully I'll be able to play it. It's actually in the repair shop right now. So I bought it, obviously used, from a guy up in Fort Collins, which is about an hour away. And I mean, this guy has a beautiful collection of vintage amps, a couple, very few newer ones, but he also has a bunch of resonator guitars from like pre-war. So those are like the usually metal bodies, but they have like the little disc, the resonator in there. And he had, I don't remember, 10, 15, like very old, most of them were old, just National guitars. So cool looking. So anyway, I got this, this amp. It was on Facebook Marketplace, and he put a new speaker in there, a very nice, high quality premium speaker in there. And it's a 12 inch speaker. Speakers have to be broken in. So I think, you know, typically, you know, this is what I read online. Typically, you know, it may take like, 30 or 40 hours for them to fully break in, and you play them loud. Basically, people try to take a little bit of a shortcut, like maybe they put a looper on and it plays music through there. So there's some things you could do, but I'm like, I'm not recording in a studio or anything. This is just for fun. So I took it to the drum box, which is like a rehearsal space close by here, and I cranked it up. So I played with my friend Tyler, who was on drums the first time. And the volume goes to, I think it goes to 10 on this particular amp. So when I was playing with Tyler, I think I was mostly around like 4 or 5. And it was, it's very loud. That's probably 105 to 110 decibels or so, something like that. And you could play quieter, but when I was strumming hard, really driving the amp, it's loud. That's extremely loud. That causes hearing damage, and we wear ear protection, but like that would cause hearing damage if you listen to it for more than like a few minutes. Loud as shit. Like you could feel it, you know. Sounds cool. It's really fun. It's great to turn stuff up. So anyway, I had it on like 4 or 5. And again, it's only like a 10 watt amp, but it sounded awesome. It sounded really awesome. So a few days later, I was like, well, I still need to play this amp more to break in the speaker. So I went to the drum box just by myself and I turned it up more. In fact, I turned it up to like 9, which is, it sounded so cool. It was even louder. So I think it was probably 110 to 115 decibels. And I think the delineation is like 3 dB. Is noticeably louder. So 3 dB is like the smallest amount that's noticeably louder. And the other thing to note is it's a logarithmic scale. So the nerds know what I'm talking about, which I think that's most of you, similar to the Richter scale, right? So an earthquake, even if it just goes up a very small amount, it actually indicates more strength. Anyway, so it's a logarithmic scale. It's not linear. That's the idea. It's not linear. So Anyway, I'm cranking it up and play for about 40 minutes or so. And then the volume drops dramatically. And I was like, oh, shit. So anyway, it drops dramatically to, I was measuring it because I'm just curious about the dB levels and stuff. So it dropped down to like 70 or so. So that's essentially like you don't have to wear earplugs. That's just like normal talking level, roughly. Maybe a touch louder. But I was like, uh-oh. So I turned it off, power it down, because the tubes could overheat. So it's a vacuum tube driven amplifier. And I was like, oh, shoot. So I waited, I let it cool down, turned it back on, and then it was still quiet. So I was like, okay, this is not great. It's like, cool. All right, I'll go home. I'll let it cool off a little bit more. I checked it again when I got home, and it was actually okay. I was like, I turned it up to 3, and it actually got louder, and it was working how I would have expected. And then I turned on the tremolo, and then the volume went down again, and then I smelled something like sort of smoky or hot or something like that. So it's powered it down, and I was like, oh, shoot. Now, the thing is, these tube amps, they have voltages inside that can kill you. And basically, if you open it up and you don't know what you're doing, you could accidentally shock yourself very badly and potentially die. So that is a real risk. And I'm actually interested in building some amps and like getting in there and being able to replace a resistor. So that's what I thought. I was like, maybe I burned a resistor. Like the tube was probably going out, probably burned a resistor. And turns out I brought it to the shop. The guy that worked on it before that kind of restored it. This is not the person that I purchased it from, but just a amp repair guy around here. He was able to take a preliminary look at it, and it sounds like it's just a tube that went bad, which is completely normal. You know, I turned it up and played it very loud for, you know, a long stretch, and they could have been old tubes. So I think if it had brand new tubes in there, it would have been fine. You know, if you beat up your equipment by turning it up really loud, it won't last as long, but it still should last. You know, if I did that week in and week out, it should probably last at least a year. I mean, even, and the tubes are not super expensive. It'd be like $50 or something like that. So it's not a crazy amount of money. But anyway, I thought maybe it was a resistor, and I was like, I don't want to mess with a resistor. And because it smelled smoky, I was like, I don't want to turn it back on again because I don't know if I burned a resistor and then it's going to potentially damage the original transformer, which is fairly small in that amp. All that to say, I blew a tube and the amp will get a little tune up. I met a really nice guy up there, Jeff, and he's the amp tech. And so I actually talked to him for a little bit. He showed me around his shop. The other funny thing is I have this other amp over my shoulder here, and I blew, I put new speakers in there. Same brand as the great speaker in the Gibson Discoverer. So I got those and I was like, oh, I need to break those in. So I took that amp to Drumbox for a couple hours on Saturday. And I blew two tubes on that one. But it did, in opening it up, and I can switch tubes, like that's a simple thing, not dangerous. Anyway, so I identified, again, I cranked it up. That one's even louder. That was a 40-watt 210, and I put like highly efficient speakers in there. It's too loud. I'm not sure what I thought it was going to happen, but it's even louder. It's insanely loud. It's beautiful, crazy loud. I don't know what I thought I was going to be doing with it, but it's been fun along the way. So I found that one tube was an incorrect tube in there. So I was able to put in, you know, the correct spec cube tube. It did work fine. And it's just like a lower amplification tube that shouldn't have been in there. And then I think the other tubes were actually old and they probably just needed to be changed. But of course, turning it up, you're sending a lot of heat. Like the tubes glow red in the back, or they glow orange. If it goes red or purple, that's too hot, but it glows orange and they get hot. And in fact, all the amps, they're kind of open back, like there needs to be airflow in there because it does get hot. So by turning it up, playing it loud for, you know, 30, 40 minutes, I expose the weaknesses in those tubes. And yeah, so I got home. My wife was like, oh yeah, the new speakers sound, like, are you happy with it? And I was like, yeah, it sounded really good. And I think maybe one of the tubes is bad again. I don't know what's going on. So anyway, I've been struggling a little bit, but I mean, the tubes go bad. I just happen to be playing for a long period, and you know, like I said, I exposed the weaknesses of the old tubes, and it just happens to be like it's been like 3 weeks in a row. Like tubes went down, and sometimes like one of the other amps, the tube went down, you know, a normal thing again, but it blew a fuse and it sounded horrific. It was like a huge popping noise. And I was like, oh my God, like it sounds electrical, scary out there. Okay. Somehow I made the last 10 minutes, all about how, I love these tube amps. It's really cool. Really fun stuff. So anyway, thank you for listening. I hope it was helpful. And as a slightly related, I was invited to be on AJ DeVera's YouTube channel to talk about AI in the guitar YouTube, guitar enthusiast space. So that came out a couple weeks ago, basically like a podcast episode. So we hit it off when we were chatting, when I invited him to my show, and he was like, hey, maybe we could, you know, we could talk about this. So it was one of those like fun episodes that he even mentioned. He was like, I don't think it's going to get a lot of views, but like, it's a fun topic for us to cover, and we enjoy chatting with each other. So anyway, thanks a lot. Check out that interview. I'll link up to it. And if you have any questions or show topics or anything like that, shoot me an email, feedback@doug.show.